Boom. Hello, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whenever, however you're listening. I'm your host, Kyle Matovic. I don't think I've ever said that myself on a show. Perhaps I should start because I know I'm starting to get new listeners over here and there, but slow growth, but growth nonetheless. Anyways, I hope everybody is doing well. I'm officially on vacation, which is nice, until Tuesday, that is. So, I mean, like, it's definitely a few days, but it's not a whole week. Not an insane amount of time, but it'll be a good time nonetheless. And lots of cool stuff coming up for me in the near future here. I had a guest tonight, and unfortunately, he was not able to make it. We were, I was really excited for this guest, and he was introduced to me by a mutual friend of ours. And we'll be scheduling that for about a week or two. But I do have the next couple weeks guests all scheduled out. So lots of cool shows coming up in the future. Really, really excited about all these. And in network with a lot of good people. And I'm going on some other people's shows in the near future as well. So I'll kind of announce those as they come. Should be all good talks. But yeah, looking forward to all that stuff. And then obviously for a Common Crown. Common Crown is just killing it right now. And if you don't get to make it to a show, I am sorry, because we are going to do some cool stuff over these next couple months, and the new material sounds really good. So I couldn't be more excited for honestly everything in my life. And it's so funny to me. People call me black-pilled, but I am so grateful for everything that's going on right now. And I know this sounds like I'm just sitting here patting myself on the back, but it's not just me in these efforts. It is the people that I've surrounded myself with and that have been gracious enough to stick around me through thick and thin. So I truly am grateful for my family, my band, my work. All these people are just such incredible people, and I'm so blessed to be around them all the time. But you know, that's a kind of ancillary. We'll talk about that kind of stuff a little bit more, and hopefully there's lots of people that just kind of want to come and chat about their evening, their afternoon, and whatever. Unfortunately, the guest had to cancel, but we'll be scheduling here in a few weeks. So before we get into the rest of today's show, please go to all the links below where you can find out how to support me, support my work, everything I've got going on. Go to Tiger Fitness through the link below. Use code Kyle at checkout. I see someone has been placing orders consistently through that code, so I really, really appreciate it. That goes, you know, a long ways to help the Matovic family, you know, as we are now expanding, which is just, I couldn't be more stoked about this. And of course, Dean Pitt through the link below, and Fox & Sons Coffee to get some fantastic coffee. And I'll let Steven know that I sent you. And without any further ado, let's get into it.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
And welcome back, everybody. Hopefully you're all doing well. As I said earlier in the introduction, I had a guest tonight, but unfortunately he had canceled. He had prior engagements with, I guess, his old lady or whatever the hell was going on. But tragic, but, you know, life will go on. And I figured I would just do a quick podcast and just kind of catch up and talk about some of the things that have been on my mind as of lately, specifically today. And of course, answer any questions that people have. So A Common Crown, as I said in the introduction, is doing very, very well. Life is very, very good for me. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that as I'm sure everybody had this, specifically people who work out. If you're in your early 20s, people always say, well, wait till you're 30, wait till you're 40, wait till you're this age, and you won't be able to do this stuff anymore. And for me personally, my compliance with my diet has not been perfect. And I think I've been pretty open about that. And if I haven't, then I apologize. But I'm not quite as lean as I would like to be at this time, which, you know, that's fine. It's just there's some body weight I'd like to get off. It's not like, you know, death or anything like that. Like, these are fixable problems. But, you know, if you work out in your early 20s, late teens, everybody says wait till you're 30 and then your metabolism slows down and you can't do this anymore and it's going to take you forever to recover and, oh, all these different issues, you're just going to run into them because you're getting older. I, in my experience, and once again, I'm not the oldest person in the world, but, you know, I work a pretty active blue collar job and I do lift pretty heavy and consistently. I find that's probably a cope from a lot of people. I think I've probably talked about this enough times before, and whenever me and other people start talking about this, I think about my bass player, Steve, who is 55. He's born 1969. Dude could still do a split. Could still run, you know, I think like under 8 minute miles. Could still bench press a couple hundred pounds. Could still squat a couple hundred pounds. I'm sure if he deadlift, he could deadlift a few hundred pounds. He still hits the bag, does lots of boxing and training and, you know, you name it, he does it. And he works a blue collar job and he owns multiple businesses. And you could make the argument that he's not the norm. And hey, maybe you're right. He was also in the military at one point. So, you know, you could even make the argument that he already had a lot of these kind of habits already instilled into him. Fair enough. A friend of mine, Rollo Tomasi, also, same deal, 56, I think, in his mid to late 50s. Still looks pretty damn good. Still getting after it. You know, he's on TRT, okay, but like, you can still do well into older age if you just apply yourself and use effort consistently. Like, I don't think this is anything revelatory, and I think people somehow think it is that, like, if you're old and you're jacked, then it has to be because steroids or something else. But no, it's really just some people consistently put in work and they have lifestyle features and habits that make their lifestyle of being healthier more sustainable. And that's really what it's about. When you get older, you don't have to get worse. That's why I titled the show Getting Better. Is because you don't have to get worse as you get older. And a lot of this has kind of came on to me because on Friday, this was a little bit of a wake-up call for me, and I'm taking active measures to prevent something like this from happening again. Friday morning, I wake up, my usual time, about 4:30, and everything seems all right, but, you know, whatever. I go take my dogs for a walk, and I get home and my neck feels a little weird, right? Don't think anything of it. I get a shower and I'm like turning my head. I'm like, wow, that actually really hurts. Brush my teeth and everything. I bend down to get some water out of the sink so I could swish and, you know, blow the toothpaste out of my mouth. And it feels like somebody's like cutting my head off when I bend down to go get the water out. I'm like, wow, that really sucked. That really didn't feel good. So I do it one more time and I'm like, wow, that really, really sucks. I'm just going to see what happens if I go to work and maybe I can power through this. I get to work and I'm like, man, my neck is just really freaking bothering me today. So for those who don't know, which I'm sure everybody knows, I'm an automotive technician by trade. So I work on lots of vehicles and part of the job is getting in and out of vehicles. It was excruciatingly painful to do that Friday morning. So I had a truck first thing in the morning and I'm like, oh man, like this just really isn't right. So I'm walking to go put our little like emissions probe in there. So that way, basically like this thing scans the computer and checks for codes and make sure there's nothing wrong with like the emissions system. And I go to like plug it in. I'm like, wow, this really sucks. I'm walking back in the building and I just get this real wicked pain. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to keep powering through and I should be fine. Get the truck in and I'm like trying to set the rack underneath it. And still, it's just like, man, it is like somebody stabbing me in the neck, like right here on the side. Sucks. Really, really sucks. Get the vehicle up in the air and I start taking stuff off. I'm like, okay, I'm in a lot of pain. So I take three lug nuts off of three wheels, or all the lug nuts off three wheels, sorry. And then I go to pull the wheel off and I had to drop it because it hurt so freaking bad. I'm like, okay, I have to go see a chiropractor because if I can't even pick up a wheel, I'm really screwed. So I initially tried to call the chiropractor I normally go to. He wasn't available. And I call my dad because he knows everybody under the sun. And we were able to get me situated with another chiropractor. He cracked me up and everything. But like, I remember sitting there in there. I'm like, oh my God, like in the chiropractor's waiting room. And I'm like, I like can't move. It hurts to sit down. It hurts to do anything and everything. So he cracks me or puts me on the TENS machine. And like, I'm already feeling a lot better. Cracks me, whatever. Wife comes, we got the lunch, and I'm starting to go back to about where I was. Still in a lot of pain, come home, try to lay down, and it hurts to lay down. Same deal. So throughout the weekend, it definitely got better. And like as of today, I would say I'm probably about 90% there. Like if I look up and turn my head like that, I get a little bit of discomfort, but it's not the pain I was experiencing. The whole point in me telling you this is that, like, I honestly think some of the recovery in this is due to the fact that I have consistently had healthier lifestyle decisions. I'm not incredibly obese. I eat a more protein-rich diet, which is, like, the key to longevity. I don't think if I lived a more active lifestyle that I would have recovered as fast. And, like, I'm grateful that the pain had subsided enough by Sunday that I was able to put my cab in the back of my wife's terrain to take it to Jazz's house. Radio Clock Studios were recorded our stuff. Like, whew, I would not wish that on anybody. That sucked. It hurt a lot. So, like I said, all this to say, you do got to watch as you get older that you can hurt yourself, but like, I don't think that has to be a fate that you're destined to. I think you could still do great things as you get older if you just maintain consistent behaviors. And even if you are older, if you start those behaviors over time, I think you can get better and better and better. And then you'll fight off more stuff like this. And you won't have to deal with, you know, pain and being sore all the time. You'll be able to bounce back a lot better. Sleep and recovery is where I'm looking lately. Yeah. And see, the problem is, and everybody does this, myself included, we all need a little bit more day, right? We all need a little bit more time in these 24 hours that we have every single day to get more shit done, because there's only a finite amount of time that we're on the face of this planet. So therefore, we got to just keep go. Sleep is really like an underrated thing. And I know that sounds super stupid and simple, but like probably not a good idea to lack on that. I don't have the specific studies off the top of my head. Maybe I should do a full podcast on this, but like sleep and recovery really is a big deal. There was a study done, at least I've heard, I think it was Mike Israetel talk about this, where people who were in a caloric deficit, so a caloric deficit would just basically just be where you're eating less calories than your body expends per day. So you're losing mass, right? The carbons from your body are leaving and, you know, are leaving your body and being used elsewhere. You're losing fat. People who had poor sleep, but still had sufficient protein. Hi, buddy. Dog's joining the podcast. What's up, Axton? The people who had poor sleep had lost 50% fat and 50% muscle, even with sufficient protein and resistance training. That's not quite as bad as you would be if you just lost weight. Like you hear about these Ozempic transformations where people don't, they don't resistance train or anything like that. They just take Ozempic and lose weight. That's still better than that, but it's still not good, right? Because you're literally losing, for every 1 pound of fat that you lose, you're also losing 1 pound of muscle. Okay, well, why is this important? Because 1 pound of muscle is metabolically active tissue, and it's also the tissue that helps you recover, helps you burn more calories, and will also increase your overall longevity. It'll help you live longer. That's important. So if you increase the protein intake, but your sleep is shit, then essentially you're reducing your their overall benefit of like your resistance training and everything like that. Like, so that's why it's so important that people be mindful about rest and recovery. I know people say like 8 hours a night. Obviously, this is like, in my opinion, at least, it's pretty individual dependent. Like some people probably feel fine on 7, 5 hours even. I'm definitely not that guy. for me, when I sleep like 8 or 9 hours, I feel very good. If I get to sleep around like 7:30, I feel golden. I was just thinking about this the other day where I got like a bug, or it wasn't like a bug, but I don't know. I felt like crap for like a whole day. And I left work at about lunchtime. And I remember I went home and I think I slept from about like 3 o'clock that day till about like 4:30 the next morning or something like that. I slept something like 15 hours, and maybe I'm way off in the times, but either way, I slept a very, very long time. And I remember waking up the next day and just being like, holy shit, I feel incredible. Absolutely unstoppable. Let me run an ad real quick and we will get right back into it. Here we are. All right, guys, we are going to take a quick break from the show to tell you about the show's sponsor. We are now brought to you by Fox & Sons Coffee. As you can see right here, I got the Den Blend Dark. Really enjoy that. I've been drinking a lot of their Brazil Honey Prep right here. As you can hear, there's not a lot of beans left in it because I've been drinking it quite a bit. Just to tell you a little bit about Fox & Sons, why I support them and why you should too, is that Steven had started the company up in Michigan to help teach his son about entrepreneurship. I'm all about that, and I do firmly believe that in order to spread liberty in our lifetimes, we have to support those who support similar values as us. And Steven does support all the same libertarian values that I bring and talk about on the show a lot. So go to foxandsons.com, use code Kyle at checkout to get 15% off of orders $25 or more, and there's always free shipping whenever you place an order that is more than $37.99. Find their coffee absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure you will too. So one more time, go to foxandsons.com, use code Kyle at checkout to get yourself a little discount. Let them know I sent you, and support the coffee that supports you. All right, guys, thanks. Back to the show. Yes, all that good stuff. When exhausted, I'm useless no matter what I do or take. Except once I work like crazy, not healthy. Yeah. Sleep is severely underrated, something I personally need to work on. Yeah, I completely agree. And that's kind of what I've been talking about the last few minutes. It's just like, I've heard Stan Efferding say this, and I generally agree that, like, if you're waking up at like 4 a.m. to go do your morning cardio instead of resting, that's kind of like, what do you say? It's like stepping over dollars to pick up dimes. I think that's something like what he said. But generally, that is the time that your body's resting. Your body's recovering. It's, you know, helping cement some of the memories in the long-term memory. It's when you're building all the muscles, and, you know, basically like the most anabolic stage that your body's going to be in is when you're sleeping. And this also goes to like the whole thing like around having your phone around when you go to sleep. And I am not perfect at this at all. My wife will be able to verify on this. But like I know probably everybody listening to this podcast probably does it. What do we do as soon as we lay down? Pick our phone up and start dicking around, scrolling on Twitter. Present company guilty. Scroll on Twitter, scroll on Facebook, watch TikTok, stuff like that. It's not good because I remember listening to, I can't remember the guy's name, but he had said that they had done a study where basically like they literally put a light up underneath somebody's leg and the person was able to actually like their sleep was affected because of that. When you get blue light on your face, like basically this light that's coming off the monitor and this light that's right here next to my camera, when you have a lot of this before you sleep, this signals to your body that you're still awake, right? So you're not able to get in as deep of sleep if you have like this light shining in your face 24/7. I feel like crap and my posterior chain gets tight and locks up if I sleep 1 minute over 8 hours. That's pretty weird. I don't know what to tell you about that, Jay Forte. I apologize. How do you feel about fasted cardio as soon as you wake up for an hour? Well, that would really depend on like why you're doing it. If you're doing it because you enjoy it, that's fine. But at the end of the day, there really is no benefit to fasted cardio. Now, I say that, but me personally, when I used to do a lot of running, I would have to do fasted cardio. That is how personally I felt I performed best. I felt best when I was running fasted, right? I would not like to eat and then go running. I've tried it, didn't like it. I don't like the feeling of having stuff in my stomach when I go running. What did make a difference for me though, Bill, is actually having electrolytes before a run. Now, like, I don't sweat an insane amount, but, and it could just be a placebo thing, but like I would normally drink like a bottle of water. So like 12 to 16 ounces of water with like Element T electrolytes, which I'm not sponsored by them anymore, but like, I still recommend this. I think it's like 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, or I can't remember what it is, but if you look up LMNT and look up their electrolytes, I would always drink one of those before I go running. And I did, in my opinion, feel better when I would have electrolytes before a run. But fasted cardio, a lot of people talk all about fasted cardio, or at least used to. You don't really hear about it as much anymore. If you're doing it to burn fat, then there is no difference between doing fasted cardio and fed cardio. At the end of the day, it still is going to come down to energy balance. So if you're still eating more calories and you're expending in the day, you're still going to gain weight. But like, there's nothing special about fasted cardio. Just like I said, for me personally, I liked it. I felt the best when doing it. Maybe having like a cup of coffee and some electrolytes before running generally felt the best. But you know, I'm sure there's people out there who might feel like they like, you know, eating before they do cardio or like a heavy weight session. Just depends all on your subjective experience and what works best for you personally. Like I said, for me personally, I definitely liked doing more fasted running. Yeah, circadian rhythm is a mofo, and this is why I feel for people. My buddy Brett had recently just left his job where he was night shift, and like, me, I am a morning person. I like getting up early. I like being up before the sun's up and doing whatever I got to do. I like getting up in the morning, making breakfast, and kind of starting my day being able to do what I want and without thinking about anybody else. And, you know, I always talk about how I'll, you know, normally walk the dogs first thing in the morning about 5 o'clock and up, go out and just take them for a nice walk. It's quiet. Nobody's out. I don't really have to worry about other dogs. It's just me, the dogs, pavement, and the nice cool air outside, especially like this time of year. Right now it's a little cool, but like in the summer months when I can go out dressed like this in, you know, a tank top and like gym shorts, I love being able to do that. It's just such a nice feeling, and for me it's very, very calming. And if it's raining or something like that, I do have a treadmill in my basement and I'll just walk on the treadmill. Don't like that quite as much as I like walking outside, but I'll still do it. But yeah, like all the stuff that we're kind of talking about here's like fasted cardio, cardio, walking, staying active, rest and recovery is something that's going to help you get better and stay better for longer when you get older. Because like I said, I don't believe that it's set in stone that you have to get worse as you age. I think that's a cope for a lot of people who just made bad life decisions and then are now looking for ways and excuses to excuse themselves from actually doing the work that it takes to get better. Sucks, but it is what it is. And, you know, I don't like the fact that I can't sit here and eat s'mores and ice cream, and, you know, giant salted pretzels every single day, but that doesn't make you, you know, jacked and tan. It just doesn't. If it did, I'd do it. I would know, but I can't do that. So yeah, I just think a lot of people kind of cope about this kind of stuff where it's just, oh yeah, I'm old, I can't do that. No, I just think you're lazy, and like, that's okay. You don't have to do these things, but I also think you kind of lose the right to complain about a lot of this stuff if you aren't taking active steps to improve your health as you get older. Where there was something else I wanted to talk about.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Sorry. Yeah, I see these people who talk about the Kabbalah bracelets, and I know this is like a wicked pivot. And if we still want to talk about health, I'm good with that. But the Kabbalah bracelets, the Shiloh Hendricks has a what the hell is it? Some Freya necklace. What the hell was it? How everybody, when you notice one thing, like if somebody has a Kabbalah bracelet. Like, heaven forbid somebody has a red bracelet on their wrist. Or apparently Shiloh Hendricks with this Freya necklace, where it literally looks like the dragon. If anybody in listening has played Skyrim, it literally looks like that dragon emblem from Skyrim, right? They're calling her a witch because of this. Like, can you guys chill with the autism and the spurgatory just a little bit? Like, not everything is some giant psyop conspiracy or something like that. Sometimes it's just somebody looked at something and said, oh yeah, that looks cool, I'll wear that. The old man, I'm gonna say, not doing dumb hair shit when you're young will keep you better as you get older. Further, you're standing and kneeling on concrete takes its toll. Yeah, and I there are times where I've realized, and I think I'm pretty good about this, but like when it comes to shit that maybe I'm not the best with this, but like shit that I know I can't handle by myself, I'm normally like, okay, yeah, someone come over here and get this. Like when I take bumpers off at work, I always am mindful to have somebody else there because I have dropped people's bumpers before. And that's not a good feeling. Like when you're taking a bumper off a Cadillac, I think the last thing a Cadillac owner wants to hear is that their fat slob technician just dropped their bumper on the floor. Generally, they don't get scuffed. Like those things don't scuff easily. Just something about dropping people's bumpers isn't cool. But yeah, you can notice things, but it's like, are they actually something? Let me try this real quick. How does this look? No, it's not working. But yeah, like you don't have to be a spurgy retard about stuff. Like, I just don't get why people, and we're like pattern recognizing machines. We see something, we see it commonly enough, and then we assume there must be some unifying theme amongst all these things if you see it consistently enough. So therefore, you see that unifying theme, you talk about it because you want other people to be aware about it and you want somebody to do something about it. That's essentially what I'm doing here with this podcast. When I talk about health, foreign policy, is that I want to put these ideas into somebody's ears and hopefully they can do something about it to improve their lives or reassess the way they look at the world. And sometimes even when I'm sitting here talking to a guest, I'm trying to actively do that, have a conversation that changes my mind and readjust the way that I look at the world, because I understand I'm a flawed person with flawed understandings of things, that I don't have all the information. And kind of to that point of not having all the information, someone tagged Pete in a thing that I wrote, and because I put him in a video of him just calling these people fucking spurgy retards. And in his bio, he has custom rules the law. And I wanted to talk about this for a little bit because it's something very, very interesting to me that I don't think people talk about enough, and specifically libertarians, which I still put myself in that camp, but you know, maybe I have some beliefs that just aren't that libertarian, which is okay. If you don't like it, you don't like it, and that's tough shit. Custom rules the laws. When you have a society, and I hate to go super arbitrary, but when you have a society that agrees upon certain concepts, kind of like we do here in the West, right? So I know everybody says that we have like this Christian culture, right? Our laws, our ethic, and our country was founded on Christian values, not Judeo-Christian values, Christian values, just Christian values. We have certain underpinnings in our culture, in our ethos, and in everything that we do that assume certain things. We assume that when we go to Walmart, people aren't just going to walk out and steal stuff. Now, do these things happen? Yes. We assume that people respect the sanctity of life. That's why we can go outside without getting murdered, right? Because we assume that everybody in our culture understands and shares the value of life. We can, gas stations and corn trucks and stuff like that will leave corn on a truck and then leave a box there for people to put cash in because they have the mutual understanding that people will pay for these things and we're trusting one another to voluntarily cooperate without, you know, needing to put excessive safeguards in place. That is more important than the rule of law, because if the whole culture is against the rule of law, then the law doesn't matter, because the people don't have to listen to that, and it's not ubiquitous in the culture, right? People don't obey the laws that they don't recognize. We try and have faith in people, yes. And it's funny, because I do consider myself an immigration restrictionist, right? And if people heard me talk about my views on immigration and honestly people who should be in the government, people would think, oh, you're some crazy Nazi or something like that. Because, okay, well, it's funny that someone close to me did call me a liberal, and it's like, you have no idea. sometimes an understatement. But an immigration moratorium, I think, is completely necessary for the United States to continue as a country, right? So basically no immigration for an extended period of time, because we need to have people here in America for their quality. We need their quality of life here in America to go up, right? But I am still a people's person. I want those people to, you know, have great lives in their own countries. I don't want you to have a great life on the back of my country while raising up the prices of my home and pushing up the wages, and also taking scarce resources up that, you know, my daughter is going to have to use, and that I use, and that my family uses. There are so many things in the public that immigration can really affect if, you know, completely left unchecked, like it has been for really the last couple decades. We need to stop that, right? People who are in government should be people who were born here in this country, because if you were born here in this country, then at least we know that you have somewhat of a stake in this country and how it goes. My guest, I'm really upset that my guest couldn't be here tonight, because I know he talked about this with my dear friend Tommy Sammons, who's just fantastic. And we did an episode recently that I thought was very, very enjoyable. If you go to Year Zero, we did a whole, it was probably like a half hour where we just kind of dissected Stevie Ray Vaughan playing Voodoo Child by Jimi Hendrix, which is just, it's fantastic. And I just love talking about that kind of stuff. If you can't tell, it just really animates me. But where am I going with this? We have so many things that underpin our culture here in the United States that we're able to do a lot of things that I don't know if other cultures, and I'm saying, like, genuinely, I don't know, because I haven't been to a lot of these cultures, but, like, we have the assumptions that people value these things mutually. Jay Forte, my dad, my mom, everybody, my wife, we all kind of assume these things about our fellow neighbors, our fellow citizenry. They're going to obey all these laws, and that generally keeps this country kind of turning in a somewhat, you know, resourceful and functional manner. When you move away from that, and specifically when you talk about immigration and having people here who aren't assimilated to the culture and don't understand these norms and don't have the same underpinnings inside, you know, their understanding of the world, then now you start to create a little bit of an issue, because you no longer have those same assumptions that we all take for granted here, because they're in everything that we do, right? I assume that the power lineman is competent enough to keep the power on. Literally today, my plumber was at my house, and I assume that he's competent enough to not completely destroy all my water lines and, you know, me, like, ruin my house, right? I can assume these things and be right, like, the vast majority of times. When you have mass immigration and people who really don't have a stake in this country and a stake in things going well in this country, then you can't share that understanding. So this kind of goes to his whole point. And I just want to make sure I get this right. Where is it? I literally just had it pulled up. Yeah. Custom rules the law. When people listen to the customs, then you don't really have to worry about the force of law. But when you have, you know, vastly different understandings of how a culture should be ran, then, yeah, you are going to need some kind of government. And this is where I think I kind of step out of the libertarian sphere and where I probably make some enemies. But, like, I don't necessarily think, I don't see this as, like, antithetical to libertarianism. And in fact, I think it complements libertarianism in a way, because private property rights and freedom of association and the non-aggression principle all complement these things, and I think work very well when you have this kind of cultural understanding. When you don't have this understanding, then I don't think you can have the same libertarian ideals that I talk about and that we hear about from libertarians. Yeah, Tommy is the man. Yeah. So, I just figured I would do a show and kind of talk about some of the stuff that's on my mind. Life is good, guys. Life is very, very good. My wife and I will be in Ocean City this weekend, Ocean City, Maryland. If you're down around that area and you see us walking around, please say hi. Hopefully the weather's all right. If anybody who is listening is in Maryland, please let me know. Hopefully the weather down there is decent enough, because I'll tell you what, it is shitty here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm not exactly in Pittsburgh, but I'm close enough. But yeah, I'm officially on vacation. This is going to be the last you're going to hear from me till next week. I will not be on Rule Zero or Post Zero. It feels like forever since I've done a podcast when I don't do my weekend stuff. I've just been so busy lately between, work, all the pregnancy appointments, the band stuff. But life is good, guys. Don't get me wrong. So tomorrow night, actually, A Common Crown is going to be playing at Jurgles. If you're in the southwestern Pennsylvania area, please feel free to come out. Only $10, I think, for the show. It's going to be A Common Crown, then Dying Breed, and Blood Union. Should be a good time, so feel free to come check us out. I think we're going to have some merch there. Then after that, we're going to be playing up in, let's see, we got the Hazen Flea Market show, which is going to be awesome. We're going to be guest judges for a Hulu Girl contest, which I'm very excited for that. And then we're going to be opening for a Guns N' Roses tribute band Monday, June 23rd. Very, very excited for that. That's going to be a really cool show. And then, of course, my favorite show every single year, Rock for Life, is June 28th. I don't remember how much tickets are, but that's going to be with the Raindrop Inn. It's going to be an outdoor show. It's going to be a awesome, awesome time. Cannot wait for this. What else? I think the only other show, well, we got one up in Erie in late September, but the big one, of course, which is just announced. I'll see if I can find the flyer real quick before I get off here. We will be playing with, I'm not even following Hinder, apparently. Nice. We will be playing with Hinder again at the Raindrop Inn on, they don't have the tour dates there. Anyways, we'll be playing with Hinder again on September. Oh my God, I should have these dates memorized by now. Guys, what the hell am I doing? September 13th, there's a giant bike rally up at the Raindrop Inn. We'll be opening for Hinder one more time. Very, very excited for that show. That's going to be awesome. And I think that's about all I got. Next week, I believe I have Sabrina Salvati coming back on the show. Should be a cool show. It was a good time when I talked to her last time, so I'm sure this will be no exception. Like I said, I just figured I'd do a quick podcast and talk about some of the things that are on my mind. I know a little bit of a shorter show today, but I just want to make sure I get one out there and kind of check in on everybody, and hopefully everybody's doing well, and hopefully everybody has a fantastic Memorial Day. One more time, please go to all the links below where you can figure out everything I've got going on, all that good stuff, and go to tigerfitness.com, get all those supplements that keep you all jacked and tan. Use code Kyle at checkout to let them know I sent you. And with that, guys, thank you so much for listening, and until next time, take care and have a great Memorial Day weekend.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.